Track 106, conservator Emma Duggan talks about the orthopaedic corset.
Hello, it's Emma Duggan again. I'm conservation and collection care manager here at Wellcome Collection. I head up the team that conserves and cares for all items in our collection. In this stop, I'll tell you more about the orthopaedic corset and how I conserved it for this exhibition. The corset was made to fit a lean male and it's designed to support the spine. It is made of composite materials, a mixture of metal and leather. It has a warm brown colour with a slight sheen. The structural frame is metal and its construction echoes the shape of the ribcage. Thin strips of metal run diagonally down from the sides of the chest to a central vertical plate that follows the line of the spine at the back. In front, the ribs meet over the sternum. Here, the corset can be opened like a jacket to put it on. The three metal fastenings at the front have a series of holes so that the fit can be adjusted, like a cross between tailoring and ironmongery. The edges of the metal frame are bound with leather to make it more comfortable next to the body. Where the leather is missing at the bottom edge, a row of tiny holes in the metal is visible. These allowed a needle to go through to sew on the leather. Broad leather straps go over the shoulders, again pierced with holes, to allow for adjustment. With every exhibition, as a conservator, you receive an object list and assess each item individually. For this exhibition, Jim Norton wanted to capture age, loss, and show the history of each piece. The first part is to survey the object's condition, particularly looking for areas of weakness, past treatment, active deterioration, or anything that could be adversely affected by handling. The corset is relatively robust to handle once you know where all the moving parts, hinges, and areas of weakness are. The metalwork showed no sign of active corrosion, but a patina of tarnish, and therefore just needed a surface clean. The thick leather straps were hard and suffered damage with areas of loss. To make their deformation look more in keeping with use, I carefully humidified and made reversible repairs to strengthen using tinted Japanese tissue. I waxed to introduce some oils back to the leather with microcrystalline wax. For this project, inert plastic was used beneath the leather straps to provide support to the structure. The softer material had become discoloured and deteriorated, possibly with use, but it and its stitches were stable, so no treatment was needed. All interventions were recorded, photographed, and added to the Science Museum's database. The guiding principles of conservation and collections care today are that we recognise preventive and interventive conservation. Preventive conservation is understanding the object's materials and how to store them in an environment which will reduce the rate of deterioration, thereby ensuring their longevity. Each material has an ideal environment, an ideal temperature, light level, and measure of water content in the air, referred to as relative humidity. Good quality storage and environmental monitoring and controls will reach more of the collection. However, it's the interventive conservation which can bring objects back to life, mend the broken and torn, reverse corrosion, and allow for interpretation. Here we use minimal intervention as a principle. As with forensics, every contact leaves a trace. In the early days of conservation, objects could be heavily restored or stripped back to make them look like new. While these were the fashion of the day and based on good intentions, now we take a more pragmatic and sympathetic approach. We retain evidence of use, keep the patina to show age, and only interact with the structure if it will benefit the object. All treatments have reversibility in mind, so that the action can be removed if it fails in the future, or a new technology or methodology can yield better results.
Location of the photograph of the statuary room. The next featured work is a large photograph of a storeroom for statues in the basement of Blythe House. The photo is located on the far wall of the gallery. It hangs on the tan-coloured wall to the right of the first documentary photo that was described of the public health and hygiene room. This photo is landscape orientated, around a metre and a half tall and 2 metres wide.